You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The scripture today is in Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 9. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you, that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Right, well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for this opportunity to meet together. We pray, Lord, for those that have traveled some distance to be here. And Lord, we ask you to bless each one. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Right, well, we're into the book of Galatians. We're at chapter 5, and last time we more or less ended off at chapter 5, verse 1. And this particular chapter is a great one. It's all about liberty. And so I've got Abraham. That's an interesting name because the father of faith is an Abraham. And so you got a little effect there. How do you like his eyes? Yeah. What's that? Well, I have no idea, but the picture I copied, the picture I copied does have blue eyes. But whether it's true or not, I don't know. Blue eyes. Blue and beautiful. Okay, so let's open our Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And we're actually up to part number 19. And I'm going through all these pieces of paper and discovering I don't have part 19 in front of me. And also, I better update this. So part number 19, it's amazing how the weeks go by and that we're, you know, so many lessons into Galatians. What I'd like to do is put up a little summary of some of the main things that we've learnt in Galatians at some stage. Because there is some tremendous teaching here. So, Galatians, and we're up to part 19, and we're going to look, hopefully, 5, 2 to 9, maybe. Maybe we can't quite get there, but we'll try. So, in chapter 5, you've got this fantastic verse. I mean, it is a rallying cry. You know, I was talking to Derek about the liberty that we have in this country and in many parts around the world to a lesser extent, but I would have to say that here in the United States and around the world, it is getting less. And the reason for this is because people are starting to move away from the foundations from which the country was founded and moved into liberal teaching that has taken them down a path which is really to a destruction, I believe. But in Galatians 5, in verse 1, it says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Again, the word "again" comes up often through here, and we need to look at that. Last time we looked at a lot of stuff about Sarah and Hagar, and we saw that there's an antithesis that's going on here. New Jerusalem, Old Jerusalem, New Covenant, Old Covenant, the mother, all, many more, and you find the other one, Hagar, cast out. And we've looked at this passage as it was written and how that there's a tremendous continuation of allegorization going on here. And there's tremendous comparison that's given in the scriptures in the book of Galatians. Good to remember it. Jerusalem above is mother of us all. When it says us, it's talking about those in the book of Acts. And to put us here today in that particular company would be to deny the end of the book of Acts. And we don't want to do that. And so Hagar has the husband. The one who has the husband. That's what it says in Greek below it. The one who has the husband. And you've got these hopes. Now, I'm not saying these are the only hopes, because there's the friend of the bridegroom, for example. There's all sorts of other companies, but there certainly is clearly in the scriptures three distinct companies that you can find. And the wife, which relates to the land, the bride, which is the one that relates to the overcomers and the election according to grace, called out during the book of Acts, that have a hope in the New Jerusalem. And that hope was also revealed to men of old. We find Abraham, look for this. All to do with Israel. And then you've got one which is the subject of a secret, which is the body of Christ, of whom Christ is head. And that one there was revealed to Paul the prisoner, and you have to read past the Acts epistles to get anything of. And of course the New Jerusalem is interesting. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. The bride is the Lamb's wife. So the bride, the Lamb's wife, is the statement concerning this company in relationship to the Lamb. But during the book of Acts, this particular company and hope was to those in the book of Acts, the mother. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. And there's an artist's rendition of what it could have been like. And the picture then is the law. Kick it out. And it's kind of nasty. If you read the story, you can imagine the feelings that might have gone on there. And so it might be with many who have had a history in the law, and yet they've got to come to this point in their lives. And that will be hard. It would be hard. But people can do it, and they can then embrace the greater truth, which is salvation by grace through faith, because of the work of the Son. Now, there are some words that come up in Galatians 5, so this is where we're starting, almost starting. These words, you can see in here a root stem which comes up, and it's related to this liberty. And down here in the green, so in the green here you've got the noun liberty, it's used 10 times. In the scriptures, and seven times eleutherao, which is to set free. That's the verb, seven times. As soon as I see seven, it starts to ring bells with me. Seven times, perfection, to set free. And then this one is the adjective, eleutheros, 23 times, and it's used also in these passages in Paul's prison books. But the verb is interesting, and seven times, here they all are. And I look through these. What do I notice? I notice there's nothing in here from the prison books. And this reminds me of a fantastic teaching. And that is the reconciliation. The doctrine of how mankind could be reconciled is fully set out in the book of Acts. You say, well, you people who believe in right division and your Acts 28ers, you chop, 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 and you waste the whole Bible and you destroy the Bible. Quite the reverse. What we know and understand is that in the book of Acts, this basic doctrine of the restoration and the reconciliation is brought up. And we can read through here. If you read, for example, the book of Colossians, which is a prison book, or Ephesians, which is a prison book, comes afterwards, after the revelation of the mystery, you'll find that Paul builds on this reconciliation. You can find the doctrine of Romans reconciliation through Ephesians. You can find the doctrine of the reconciliation of all mankind, that is, the progeny of Adam, through Colossians. You can do it. He's building on those things. And so it's true. We can go into these epistles, like Galatians and Romans, and we can read things and understand them, and we can gain a lot of benefit from them. But there is something else that we must recognize, and we'll bring that up. And that is, I'm also pointed out now, and that is that while we are in Christ, I won't make the same mistake I did last time, while we are in Christ, and while they in the book of Acts were in Christ, it is also true that there was a different hope. Those in Christ during the book of Acts, they were to be blessed with faithful Abraham. With faithful Abraham. So here we have with faithful Abraham. And we know that hope was a part of revelation in the Old Testament. Now, when I say in the Old Testament, it wasn't literally written down about New Jerusalem, but we read later on that in fact that those in the Old Testament had that hope. Yes, like Abraham. Yes, so that's part of revelation, at least to people living then. And then, after this, there is Paul put in prison, and he then talks to people in Christ. What does this mean? In Christo, that's in the realm of Christ. We get blessings because we're in the realm of Christ. But what Christ gives us is his business. And it depends on where Israel is. Now, in prison, Israel is judged. And our new hope is in the heavenly places. And we're in Christ, yes, but we're blessed with Christ. That's pretty amazing. There's a big change going on. And we need to realize this. But when we read in Galatians 5:1 about this tremendous stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, notice in John 8 we read there concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then a little bit later on it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, when it says indeed, it means in reality, in a real sense. Free indeed. And that's what we have as Christians. Those that are in Christ, we can realize that wonderful liberty. Now, unfortunately, we Christians can be divided through doctrine. And throughout Christianity, we have that. There are people believing different things. And it's been like that from the very beginning. And so what is God asking us to do? He's asking you to study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's our challenge. It's been the challenge all the way through the history of biblical Christianity. That's been the challenge. What did Paul do when he came to the Corinthians in the book of Acts? Problems. Problems to do with doctrine. What did Paul do with these people who were causing all sorts of headaches? Same in Galatians, these Jews who try and bring in false doctrines about going back to the law. Did he just throw his hands up and say, ah, forget you people? You know, had enough of you people. No, he carried on with them. And he didn't give up. Now I look at the congregation before me. And you've had a history here. You've had a history here. We come from a fellowship. We've had a history there. I know from my own experience, it's not easy. This ministry is not easy. Does that mean that it's wrong? No. In fact, putting all the evidence together, it's a part of what you expect in telling the truth. It's what we expect to be the case. And therefore, we are not going to give in. Why? Because we have been really and truly made free. Right? So, hey, bring it on, man! I'm ready to go. And these other passages I can go through. But coming right down to the last one in Galatians, this is really the part where, you know, all the water has gone under the bridge. Paul has talked to them about all these truths previously. And then what does he say? He says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again." Be not entangled again. They were entangled before. And he's saying, don't be entangled again. Now this word entangled, it has this meaning of to hold in. And because it's in the passive, it means to be held in. So to be entangled is a good choice of words here. Be not entangled. It's an imperative. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And that's why we've got to stand our place here. We've got to stand firm. We will not be entangled. Now look at the next verse. And it's a great verse. It says, "Behold, I, Paul." Bingo, I, Paul. Now that's interesting. When he talks like that, "Behold, I, Paul." We'll find that the words "I, Paul" are mentioned together like that. I think it's 6 times, but we'll check. I've got it written down somewhere. And it's distinctive. This is basically a structure of verses 2 to 10 in chapter 5. And we'll make some reference to some of the ideas in here, and I'll come back to it. But I want to first of all look at this word again before we get into this whole business of, you know, what verse 1 of chapter 5 means and verse 2 together. Again, here are the places in Galatians, 8 times. You've got to say, look for chapter 1, verse 9. "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you received, let him be accursed." Why does he use "again" here? Emphasis. Big time emphasis. And that's one of the things that I notice Prof. McLean, or Dr. McLean, used to do a lot. Repeat and repeat. Repeat and repeat. Good idea. Very Pauline. A great idea. So this idea of again, doing things again, can be for emphasis. Verse 17, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again." Well, that's just a geographical thing that he returned. And then he went up again to Jerusalem. Again, he went up another time. Chapter 2, verse 18, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." Now, this relates particularly to this idea of going back and doing things again which are wrong. This brings up the idea that if you try and build the things which were destroyed, you build on the wrong basis. Good linear algebra term. Verse 9 of chapter 4, "But now after that ye have known God," or rather known of God, "how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements?" Who wants to be a beggar? You know, one time I went for a vacation to the Bahamas. I doubt whether I'll do it again. Because I found it very hard to enjoy a vacation when there are beggars around me. And when I say beggars, I mean real beggars. And some of them are destitute and desperate, and they're in a desperate situation. How do you enjoy a vacation swimming around this beautiful resort, and then just over there, there are beggars? But no one wants to return to the weak and beggarly elements. Surely no one wants that. Surely what we want is a meal from the table, man.
We don't want to be hungry. We don't want to be beggars. We want a fair, square meal. One of those Red Robin burgers, you know. Yeah, one of those big guys that I'm too much of a pig, but I actually took a whole one. I think really I should cut them in half. And if you go down here, my little children, verse 19, my little children whom I travail in birth again. See, now he's bringing up this idea that he's having to bring them forth again. He's done it before, now he's got to do it again. This is a negative context. So you get the impression in Galatians that unfortunately these people have to be returned to. The basics must be given to them again and again and again. And I think with the kind of attrition that we see in the TV and the radio and the false teaching that's going out there, I think this is going to be a kind of the nature of the ministry that we're a part of. There has to be a full frontal assault and a repeat, until people say, yes, that's logical, what's being said over here is wrong. There has to be a declaration in everyone's mind, yes, this is right, that's wrong. It must be clear. You can't say, oh, well, yes, I think the teaching over there is okay, and so on. And all the time, they're muddling the thing up. That's no good. How are people going to be built up? Look, we're compassionate, right? I was talking to someone recently. He's going to another fellowship. And I felt that pressure on me not to say things that would offend. Why? You don't want to hurt some lovely Christian's feeling, do you? They are. As far as we can see, they are honest, they're sincere, but they're believing things that are wrong. You've got to find a way. You've got to put that emotion aside, and in a loving way, you've got to present the truth. Now, that's hard. Don't look at me and pretend and think that I'm saying I got all the answers of how to do that. I don't. I don't have all the answers of how to do that. But I do know we've got to find a way, and we've got to be, you know, doing it in a way that is loving and caring. But you've got to do it. And sometimes, maybe you've got to, you know, just say it. And maybe it's going to come off not so loving, but it needs to be done. And so you've got these tremendous passages which hit this again. Now this I, Paul, I wanted to come to, it is used six times. Six times. And you'll notice that three times in the book of Acts, and three times in the post-Acts epistles. If you look at the post-Acts epistles, look at Ephesians 3:1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner, or who? There it is. The prisoner. Of the Romans? No. Of Jesus Christ. For you, Gentiles. That line there is obviously extremely significant for us. For all of us Christians today. Now, okay, you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You out there in internet land who are listening to this message now. Okay, let's assume that that's the case. Yeah, okay. But do you know about this fact that another ministry was given to Paul? And he is not the prisoner of the Romans, although physically he was. But in spiritual reality, he is the prisoner of Jesus Christ for us, Gentiles, the nations. Down here in verse 23 of Colossians 1, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I, Paul. This gospel, Paul, is the one who is the minister of. I, Paul, am made a minister. Do you know that there are many gospels in the Bible? There are many of them. Not just one. Do you get the idea that as you read the book of Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians, that God is not into buffet meals? He's into saying, this is your portion. If you go back and take that, you're fallen from grace. Right? You're fallen from grace. Then you've got, down here in Philemon, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. I, Paul, have written it. I will repay it. Paul is the one that brings to us writings which are magnificent, that are liberating, that free you. And he pays the debt in that sense. The other passages in the book of Acts, they have to do with, you know, how that Paul would beseech them in meekness and gentleness, trying to straighten up their problems and how they should live. Galatians, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. And then down here in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Here he had a tremendous ministry trying to bring the truth right throughout the churches in Asia. And he was going to the Jew first with the hope of Israel, and he was hindered by Satan. And even although it appears that Satan won, no, in fact, this was all known by God, and God used this to reveal the secret later on to Paul in prison. Here's a little picture. In Christ Jesus. Yes. Wonderful. In Christ Jesus. In the realm of Christ. Yes, I, Paul, beseech you, meekness, gentleness, circumcision, profit nothing. We would have come, Satan. Yes, there was an action against Paul, trying to stop him bringing this tremendous truth to the Jews and bring them forward and seeing a nation that would be obedient and as a kingdom of priests, taking the message out, and it looks like Satan won, but no, he didn't win. What we have is Paul, the prisoner, made a minister, and with his writings, we understand, and we are given tremendous liberty. In Christ, yes, but there is a division. And that's what's showing here, that yes, in Christ there are tremendous blessings. There is the reconciliation that we as offspring from Adam can know life in Christ. Yes. But there is a difference here between the Acts and the prison ministries of Paul, because Paul was given further revelation and he passes it on to us. Yes, he wrote. He wrote. Many lessons can be learnt from this. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you a little bit. No. Nothing! Whoa! Buffet meals, out. Look what he says. This is remarkable. I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, that is potentially circumcised for reasons of gaining merit with God in terms of justification and profit thereof. What does he say? Christ shall profit you zero. Not one thing. It's a remarkable passage. I know we're used to reading these passages. You just need to think about them and you realize how remarkably significant these words are. Not one thing. For I testify, maturamai. Maturamai, which comes from the word martyr. When you testify, you're declaring things. People used to declare things around London about Jesus Christ and the fact that transubstantiation is wrong, is not in the Bible. You know what they did with those people? They made martyrs. They stood up and they testified. And then they were made martyrs. And they were burnt alive. Have you read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Oh, man. The original Fox's Book of Martyrs is about this thick. They brought it out in the abridged version that you can get, but the original one was about this thick. The things that humans do to humans is just unbelievable. Putting them in big barrels of tar, tied, and then putting faggots across them, then lighting them, so that their body is a wick. It's just unspeakable what has gone on. And as I was saying to Derek, you know, every little inch of what we let go in terms of liberty in our community, in our countries, and specifically this country, how much blood does that represent that we are just saying, oh, that doesn't matter? How much blood and toil and sweat are we just saying, oh, who cares? That's why you've got to have people that will stand up. You've got to have people that will stand up. I'm going to get going soon. It says this, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. So you want to take a bit of that down in the salad bar there? Okay, we've got to take all of it now. You want to try and take that buffet meal attitude with God? You don't believe in right division? You don't believe that God is strict about here, yes, there, no? You don't believe that? Read this. You take a little bit of that and you're debtor to do the whole thing. The whole thing. I need to bring up a sermon. God is an extremist. Okay. Verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Oh man. Profit you nothing. Debtor to do the whole law. And verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are, of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. No effect. Don't you want to have Christ have an effect in your life? Don't you want to be effectual as Christ uses you? Well, my friends, you better be someone that believes in right division. It's right here. You better rightly divide the word of truth, because if you don't, then Christ will have no effect in your life. I mean, am I twisting this? Read it! It's in black and white in my Bible. Maybe you've got a pink version. And it says, whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We through the Spirit. It's in the stative case. It's in the realm of the Spirit. In the realm of the Spirit. What we are ultimately talking about are spiritual things. And our reality of life spiritually is there. With the Spirit. In Spirit. We are in Christ. We're in spirit. And what we want, of course, is to understand the will of God. This brings up a big subject. But the will of God, first of all, can only come to you if you rightly divide the word of truth. You can't understand God's will for you unless you understand what He's doing with you as a member of the nations. And that's why we read in Ephesians 3:1, you know. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. For you Gentiles. He says this, the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Now here it goes, so it's not to do with any outward markings on your body or the lack thereof. But faith. Now here it comes, which we all have to learn, but faith which worketh by love. Oh, that's a great verse, isn't it? So one thing we do know, that faith, you can talk all you want about faith, but the way it works is by love. It comes out by love.
smile on my wife's face there. I think she knows something about me. Okay. Which worketh by love. That's right. Preachers got to preach to themselves too, right? We're all sinners. And we're in this unusual position that sinners preach to sinners. And that's the reality of it. And we look at ourselves in the face in the mirror and we say, oh man, you really messed up on that time and you did that wrong. Yeah, Paul did too. Abraham messed up big time. The whole litany of people in this book is a record of sinners, and there's only one exception, Jesus the Christ. Right? That's it. It's getting hard to preach in this corner here. Okay. And it says in verse 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Who did hinder you? And I know there are people that work in fellowship, and certainly it's working. There were people working in this fellowship, Judaizers. Now we may not have the Judaizers in exactly the same form as then, but Judaizers are working within the fellowship of churches all around the world, trying to bring people back into the law, trying to nullify these truths that Paul's bringing forward here. And it says, this persuasion. Yeah, it is a persuasion. And some people are real good at it. And if they can move around Paul's epistles and just stick within the books of the Old Testament and the Gospels, you think they can't get a persuasion going? They can, man. You can. You can talk really persuasively if you deny the reality of the progress of doctrine as God brings truth out by His dispensers. And the dispensers of grace is Paul. Paul is the one who's bringing us this truth. And he says in verse 8 or 9, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Yeah, that's right. That's completely consistent with what he's just said. You want to take a little bit, you've got to take the whole lot. But the trouble is, you take that little bit, the whole thing's leavened. Leavened. What is leaven? Leaven is like yeast. What is the function of yeast in bread making? Well, it produces gas. And the gas, of course, it's carbon dioxide, makes the bread come up. And it goes right through the whole dough. Have you ever seen it happen? It's a really remarkable process. You knead it, you knead it, you knead it with this yeast in there. And then you put it in a bowl and you put a covering over it and you keep the temperature about right. And you come back and the thing will just about double in size as the yeast, the leaven, works. That's what it's like, my friend. A little leaven. That's all that's required. You don't need a whole lot of leaven in there. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Truth is what we want. Black and white, not gray. Gray's out. That's why I dye my hair. Gray's out. Right? Even Abe here is not looking too bad. That's my message for you today. I've got to verse 9. And I think it's a great truth, isn't it, about right division and how we've got to stand by that liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And we need to preach right division. We need to clarify the Scriptures as God intends us to by rightly dividing. We as a fellowship need to get together, I've told you this a few times, and we need to discuss how we can reach out. Bring the right people in. So that this ministry can continue. Because I'm getting a bit long on the tooth here. And some of you here are also getting a bit long on the tooth. What we need is bring people in. The right people. So the ministry can continue. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this tremendous truth. And the fact of what has been taught to us. and we think of the past and those that have been preaching here. We thank thee for that work that has been accomplished, and we look forward to great things to come, and in thy will, even greater things. In Christ's name, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.